Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 61. Hymn number 61. Seated, and we'll sing hymn number 117. It's been a while since we've tried this one as a congregational.
What is it?
117. I can remember it here. That the law be satisfied.
brought us safely home to God. Who can number his generation? Who shall declare all the triumphs of his cross? Millions dead now live again, myriads follow in his train. Victorious Lord, victorious Lord, victorious Lord, and coming King.
Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It started verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified in walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, by interpretation, which is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all of the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, and saith, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Our Lord and our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we now live by the faith of the Son of God, who did love us, who gave himself for us. Lord, it's such a blessing to be able to approach you, to have access into the holiest of holies by a new and living way, through the blood, through the offering of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Father, we've gathered here to worship. We've gathered here to listen to your word. And I pray that you'd be pleased to come down in the Holy Spirit. Come down among us. take care of our, help our minds and our bodies to be involved in this service tonight. Lord, we know our bodies get weird, our mind gets tired. And Lord, and I thank you for your saints that come to hear the gospel. So Lord, take control of us tonight. Please help us and subdue our flesh for just a little while, that we seek to honor and glorify you. Lord, please be mindful and gracious of those who are not with us. Please keep them and preserve them. Those who are not with us through frailty of body, weakness, we thank you and pray that you bless them and strengthen them. Please forgive us of everything that's so unlike you. Bring glory to yourself through Christ our Lord tonight. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 295. 295.
He leadeth me, he leadeth me.
All right, I hope you're still in the book of Acts with me in chapter 9. Going to deal with Christ makes whole. The Lord Jesus makes whole. You remember last week we talked about Saul of Tarsus and what a radical conversion he had. He went from being a hater and persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ to preaching that he indeed is the Son of God, that he was the Christ. And so they had to let him down. He went, they took him, and all the other disciples were afraid of him. And Barnabas took him, and they went to Tarsus, where Saul was from. Now, we start dealing with Peter here for the next couple of chapters, from this rest of this to chapter 10. Our Lord gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. You remember in Matthew 16, I think it's verse 11, he said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound. Whatsoever you shall loose in heaven shall be loosed. And then he turned around and told that all of his disciples would be that way. And if we see here, and you know what, it's two times he used the keys here. He used the keys of the kingdom to open the door to the Jews. In Acts chapter 2, when he preached the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the keys was open to the door of the Jews to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here in chapter 10, God used him to open the door to the Gentiles with Cornelius. And I tell you, you know, and the instrument, you know what the key is that God uses? It's the scriptures. It's the word of God. It's the preaching of Christ and him crucified. That's the open door for everybody that believes the gospel. You don't believe the gospel, then the door is shut. If you don't believe here, you're bound. And if you believe here, you're loosed. And the instruments that he used to open was preaching. And preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had just made his confession in Matthew 16. We are sure and believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And that's when he gave him the keys to the kingdom. Now, Simon Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But yet, God's purpose didn't stop. God's gospel didn't stop. God's salvation didn't stop. And I tell you, the sin that he committed didn't hinder God's purpose, didn't hinder God's will, didn't hinder the gospel. And his failing, you know, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And yet, with his sin and his failing, the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the keys to the kingdom. And before he fell and denied the Lord, he gave him these keys to the kingdom. And thank God for grace. I know I've denied the Lord Jesus Christ a heap sight more than Simon Peter ever did. He denied him three times in just one night. I've denied him countless times in my life. Countless times. How'd you deny him? Not standing up for him the way I should. Not honoring him the way I should. Not preaching the gospel with my heart like I should. So many ways. But it said here in verse 31, then the churches had rest, and it came to pass. Verse 32 said, and it came to pass. And you know what? It came to pass then that the churches had rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified. So what happened was, after Saul was converted, things calmed down. The whole church had rest. They had some comfort. They had some rest from persecution. They had some rest from their enemies. They had some rest. And they had rest. They had no troubles. They had no persecutions. Saul had been converted. And they were edified. That word edified means to be built up, means to be strengthened, means to be established. And that's what, you know, Paul told all the preachers. He said, edify. Edify. Build people up. Don't tear them down. Build them up. Establish them. Preach the gospel to them. And then it says not only that, but they were walking in the fear of the Lord. There in verse 31. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. You know why they were walking in the fear of the Lord? Because they were conscious of God. Conscious of their relationship with God. Conscious that God Himself is the one that's got all the power that can do everything. And they were understanding. I tell you what, I walk in the fear of the Lord, and I know you walk in the fear of the Lord. Not the fear that we have that we're going to perish, that God's going to forsake us, that God is going to let us go. But we walk in the fear of the Lord in the sense that we know who God is. And that our relationship with Him, based on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk in the awe of God, knowing God, believing God, and knowing that God can do anything He will, whenever He will to do it. And I walk in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to, and I know I'm speaking for all of us, I don't want to dishonor Him. I don't want to walk and say, well, I'm not afraid of God. I don't fear the Lord. No, I do fear the Lord. You know, all it takes for God to do something for any of us is just do nothing. Just do nothing. Just do nothing. Just do nothing. And then look what else it says. Then they, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to have the Holy Ghost to comfort us. And they said they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the Holy Ghost, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's what our Lord told him. He says, I'll send you another comforter. I'll send you another comforter. That other comforter takes the place of Christ. And he said he'll comfort you. And they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He gave peace to them, gave rest to them, gave comfort to them. And I tell you, teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ and upholding them. And then it says, we're multiplied. You know what I mean? Three times already we've done found out that the church multiplied. That means that God just kept adding and kept adding and kept adding and kept adding. Huh? And then in verse 32, and it came to pass that Peter passed through everywhere he had been before, and he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And I'll tell you, he came down to the saints. Why did he come down to the saints? Why did he come down to the saints? You remember Peter says, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep of God. Not as a lord, not as a master, but as an overseer. You watch them, you feed the sheep of God. And remember our Lord Jesus. Three times he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And that's what he's doing here. I'm going down to the saints. I'm going down there to feed the Lord's sheep. And that's what he's doing there. He comes down there to feed the Lord. Came down to the saints. The one thing I utterly, utterly despise, I hate this idea of clergy and laity. Now, you know what that means? That means that the preacher is the clergy, and he's got all the power and he's got all the authority and he knows everything, and you folks don't know nothing. You're just lay folks, and they make this big distinction between the church and the preacher. Now, the scriptures doesn't do that. The scriptures doesn't do that. Paul said, I'm nothing. He said, we're just seed sowers and water boys. He didn't act like he is above everybody else. He said, when he got among them, he said, you fellas talk about being weak. I'm weaker than any of you. So this idea that preachers is above the church, that's awful. That's why Peter went down to the saints. Went down to the saints. And then he found a certain man. In verse 33, found a certain man. And all that means he come down through there, and there's a certain man laying there. And this man's name was Aeneas. And oh, he saw this man, and and it says here in verse 33, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Now, the palsy in the scriptures means paralysis, paralyzed. I don't know what caused him to be paralyzed. He'd just been paralyzed 8 years. The other fella that was at the gate called Beautiful, he was laying, and this fella was laying on his bed. He was laying out in the public, laying on his bed, probably begging or asking for some alms or whatever. And he was laying there, and he was paralyzed, and he was laying on his bed. And then, and here comes Simon Peter, paralyzed man. And this paralyzed man, utterly, utterly helpless. Helpless and hopeless, apart from God doing a miracle for him. Apart from God doing something for him. And I tell you, if you remember our Lord Jesus Christ when they was at the pool of Bethesda, and at a certain season, you know, water would be troubled, and everyone who got in at the water would be healed of whatever they had. As people everywhere. And our Lord Jesus walked up to one man out of all that crowd, and he looked at him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Why didn't he ask everybody that? That's according to free will. He'd have walked up there and said, anybody here want to accept me? If you believe me and get up and do the best you can, I'll give you an opportunity to be healed. No, he just found one fella. One man, singled out one man. And that man couldn't get up. He says, "Sirs, there's nobody to help me. And when the water's troubled, nobody will put me in the water." He couldn't get in there himself. He said, "Somebody had to put me in." Well, our Lord said, "Get up. Just get up." And that's what Simon Peter says to this man right here. You wonder how many other paralyzed people was around there. But oh, he found him in his bed. He kept his bed for 8 years and sick of palsy. He was paralyzed. And look what now Peter said unto him. "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." That's exactly the same thing he said to that man at the gate Beautiful. "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." And you know, he didn't say, "I'm going to do it. If I can get John up here to pray with me, we'll lay hands on you." No. Peter said unto him, "Jesus Christ makes you whole." Huh? He didn't ask him if he wanted to be made whole. Didn't tell him that Jesus loved him. Didn't tell him that Jesus died for him. Didn't tell him to get in a healing line. Get in the line here. And I'll tell you, we'll lay hands on you. No. He didn't tell him any of those things. Oh, no. He said, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." And then look what happened to him. "Arise and get your bed." Make it up. Make up your bed. Oh, my. And what does it say? Well, I believe I'll get up. No. The scripture said he arose immediately. Everything you find except one place where the Lord Jesus opened that fellow's eyes, and he said, "I see men as trees walking," and the Lord anointed him again. And he said, I see everything clearly. And I tell you what, he himself, the scripture said, he arose immediately. Immediately. And oh, look what it says, and then in verse 35. "And all that dwell at Lydda and Saron," that would be Sharon in the Old Testament, "saw him and turned to the Lord." Many turned to the Lord. There we are multiplying again. So here's the first thing he does. As it came to pass, he said, "I'm going to go back and visit the brethren." This is what Christ does. He makes men whole, and he gives men life from the dead. Now look what it says in verse 36. "Now there was at Joppa." Joppa was on the seashore down there, on the Mediterranean Sea. Get your map out sometime and look at some of these places. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple." See, again, just certain man. certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Oh my. Dorcas says she is a certain disciple. And the margin calls her a doe or a roe. Like a small deer, a doe, just a beautiful thing. And she was full of good works and alms deeds. And let me tell you something. Look over here in Titus. Titus is is right before the book of Hebrews. Look in Titus with me. Talking about good works. She was full of good works and alms deeds. And you know what alms means? Well, you turn over there and look in chapter 3, verse 8. You know, alms means acts of mercy. Acts of pity, acts of kindness. And that's why our Lord says, you know, don't do your alms before men, to be seen of men. Don't do your acts of kindness, your acts of pity, your acts of mercy towards anybody so you just get recognized for doing it. But look what he said here in verse 8, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But you know what he said before he told her that and told us that? Look what he said in verse 5. This is the reason why we're to have good works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which has shed on us abundantly, get the Holy Ghost on us abundantly, through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He said, since you know Christ, Christ saved you, Christ washed you, Christ justified you, now you be careful to maintain good works because of what Christ did for you. That's the reason why anybody does anything. Huh? That's the only reason why we have any reason to do. And then it says here that she was sick back over here in Acts 9. She is sick. We don't know how long she was sick. Some people get sick and go pretty quick. Some people get sick and stay for a long, long time. She was sick and the scripture said she died. She was sick and she died. That's what's going to happen to us one of these days. We're going to get sick and we're going to die. Sarah, Abraham's wife, died. You go through the scriptures, you find so many people and they said, and they died. Well, she died. She died. And what they done is they got her and they washed her body. That's one of the first things they do. You know, when you're in hospice or anything else, people come and they take care of the body. They wash the body. They put clean clothes on the body. And they prepare the body for the funeral home to come and get it. And that's what they did. That's what they did with our Lord Jesus Christ. They prepared his body. And they washed her body. Washed her and cleaned her up real good. Put clothes on her. And then they carried her to an upper room. Carried her. I don't know how many steps they had or whatever, but they carried her and laid her out in the upper room. Laid her out in the upper room. Have y'all ever been to a viewing at somebody's house where they brought the casket to somebody's house and you have to go in the house and see them? That's what he used to do. They had what they call a setting up. A lot of places call it a setting up. Setting up with the dead. And they'd bring the casket home and they'd lay the person out and people be sitting eating over the casket doing, you know, and that's what happens. And here she was, she died and they washed her up and carried her upstairs and laid her out. And oh my. And then look what they said to Peter. And as for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. He was at Joppa. So he had got through his preaching, doing whatever he was doing. He went home, went to Joppa, where he was staying. And they sent two people to him, two men, asking him, desiring him, delay not to come. And he, it says in the margin, don't be grieved. Don't be aggravated at us for asking you to come over here. Don't do that. Don't be grieved because we want you to come. Well, then two men come. And then Peter arose and went with them. And when he got there, they brought him into the upper chamber. And look what it says. And all the widows, everybody, all the widows stood by him, got by Simon Peter, stood there just weeping and crying. And look, they said, look here, look at all these things that Dorcas made. Here she, look at these wonderful coats she made. She made coats for people that was poor. She made coats for folks that needed a coat. And garments, made garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. They stuck all this stuff that she made. Said, look here, look at this. Look at all the things she made. And they stood there crying. And oh my. And she made all these things while she was with them. While she was with them. Then look what happens. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ, you heard about Lazarus. He waited 4 days. 4 days. Before he went to raise Lazarus from the dead. And I don't care how long a man's dead. The minute life, his heart stops beating, he's as dead then as he's ever going to be. Whether he's dead a minute or dead an hour or dead for days. When you're dead, you're dead. And there ain't no way in the world a dead man can give life. And oh my. And look what he says here, man. A man's dead whether he's dead a second or just days. And these people desired him to come and to comfort them. I think they called him to comfort them and to maybe preach to them. Come and preach to us. Come and comfort us. Come and comfort us. And then look what happened. But Peter put them all out. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. At Jairus's, you know, when he went into Jairus's daughter, she's 12 years old. She was laying there, dead, and they were just wailing and carrying on. And he told his own disciples, says, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And they just laughed. Oh, no. Oh, Lord, she's dead. What are you talking about? She's dead. So he put them all outside. Get out of here. You don't believe it? Just get out of here. Made everybody else go. Unbelief's bad. Our Lord said, if you don't believe, just get out of here. That's what Simon Peter, he put everybody out. Put everybody out. And when our Lord Jesus got her by the hands, he told that little old girl, said, rise, damsel, arise, maid, arise. And she got up. He said, and then called them back in there and said, fix her something to eat. She's hungry. Living people get hungry. And she, when he gave her life, she got hungry. And when God, Christ gives us life, we get hungry. We're hungry for the gospel. We're hungry for the word. We're hungry for God. We're hungry for Christ. We're hungry. We want a relationship with God Almighty. And oh my, the widows weeping showed him the coats and garments which Dorcas made. These were acts of kindness and mercy and pity she had towards others. And then, oh my, I tell you something, empires have come and empires have gone. Kings and great men of the earth are gone. But here's one of God's elect. Here's one of God's elect. A woman of good works, loved of God, loved of those who knew her. And here she is. She's remembered. She's remembered. Huh? She's remembered. She did what she did for the glory of God. Love and need for others. And then look what it says. Back there in verse 39. While she was with them. while she was with them. Huh? She wasn't with them anymore. Oh, my. How many have we went with and they said, while they were with us, while they were with them. One of these days, that's what they're going to say. He was with them. And oh, my. She was with them while she was with them. Oh, my. And let me tell you something. There's a time coming when we won't be with them anymore. I want you to see something in Matthew 26, talking about this, Matthew 26, talking about being remembered. Here's this woman with all these mighty people, and yet here she is, she's being remembered. Her name's mentioned. What she did is mentioned. How much she's loved is mentioned. How much she did is mentioned. She was so loved, and they took such great care of her. And it's while she was with them. And she won't be with them. Now look what it said here in Matthew 26, 6. Now Simon, our Lord was in the house of Simon the leper. There came unto him a woman, having an alabaster, that word alabaster means white, box of very, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they got indignant. Oh, they got aggravated. They got indignant. They got angry, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Call it waste. And she's putting it on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they call it waste. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you. There's always going to be poor people. But you don't have me always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She's preparing my body for burial. Verily I say unto you, now listen to this now, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in this whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. As long as the world stands, Christ said, I want this woman, she's going to be remembered. And that's what was with Dorcas, huh? She shall be remembered. Well, look what Simon Peter did. I got to hurry on. And oh my, and Peter put everybody out. And here he comes. Look what he does. He kneels down. He kneels down. And this is a work only God can do. Here he is. She and him is a soul left alone with God. He kneeled down and he prayed. And I want you to notice how his prayer was definite. Definite prayer. His heart and soul was centered on this one thing. This dead soul. It's like Elijah. When he prayed for nothing but rain. And that's the thing about it. A beggar who cries for everything, he'll usually get nothing. So he made his prayer definite. We make our prayers definite. Somebody asked me the other day, I said, I've got a prayer request, and you know, God knows it. That's what I told her. And then somebody else mentioned it. And you know, you mentioned me praying for the baby. I can't pray for the baby without praying for you. In Aubrey. And so that's what he done, he prayed definitely. And it, you know, it don't make no difference whether you tell me to pray for it, but you say, well, it's an unknown request. Well, then God knows it. So you say, Lord, hear that person. You know, I don't know what it is, but God, you know. So please do meet that need. And that's we don't just go out here and say, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this stuff. We just don't do that. We pray definitely for things. Tonight, I prayed definitely. I prayed, Lord, meet us. Give us up. Please keep this flesh out of this service. We pray definitely for definite things, and especially for Christ to get the glory. Huh? Well, And he called her by name. He knelt down and turning him, look what it said, and he prayed, and he turned to that body. Evidently, he was way up from the body, and then he turned to that body. He turned to look at that body. And that's all he sees then is just a body. Just a body. And then look what he says. Said, Tabitha. He said, Tabitha, arise. What happened? She opened her eyes. Oh, my goodness. She opened her eyes. And what's the first thing she saw? She saw Peter. Then you know what else she did? She sat up. She sat up. Oh, my. Oh, no, he didn't say, oh, I see how dead you are. Get up soon. Tabitha, if you want to, you could get up. No, no. There's a definite call to a definite person. And, oh, listen, he's Tabitha, arise. And a voice called her name, and it gave her life. Have you ever heard that voice that gives you life? You life. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, and I tell you what, when you hear his voice in power, your eyes are open too, and you see things you ain't never seen before. And he gave, and look what happens now. This is how gracious he is and how gracious she was. And she sat there, she rose up, and she's sitting up. And he rested and got her by the hand. And he said, come on, get up. Come on, get up. And he lifted her up. And look what the first thing he did. He said, all you saints, come back up here. All you folks I told to leave out, get back up here. They come back up here. And look what it says. Presented her alive. That's what happens to us. Christ presents us alive to his Father, presents us alive to one another. And oh my. And then look what happened. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And Simon Peter, he stayed many days in Joppa, down there with Simon the tanner. Oh my. What a thing. When Christ comes, he makes the dead live and the cripple able to walk. He's the only one that can do it. Our Lord, thank you. Blessed be your name. How gracious and kind you are. We thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracle work and power of the Spirit of God. The miracle work and power of the Word of God. We're thankful that you give life to the dead. You give feet to the lame. And you set at liberty the bruised. Oh, Lord, thank you. Blessed be your name. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for giving us your word. Bless these dear children of God. We ask you in Christ's name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Good night and God bless you. See you Sunday, Lord willing. And don't forget, we're having a dinner Sunday. And I know the time changes, but we'd all get up and come to services anyway. So, you know, just, well, since we're up and we're here, we just will eat. You can go home and nap then.
Yeah.